swing and a high drive. Deep left field, on its way, back to the wall, Lyle, it's out of room, it's gone! And it's happened again, Harper this time! Bryce Harper puts the Phillies on top! 7-5 in the top of the ninth!
They did it again. What a week for the Phillies. And joining us right now to talk about it as they get ready for another road series, this time up in New York against the Mets, is Scott Fransky, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Scott, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right. Kind of a crazy week.
So how does it feel to be a part of history, Scott, with that legendary, number one, with the legendary call, and you know what, you know, the sidebars, what the Phillies were able to do?
It is fun to be, again, we're just here, as broadcasters. We just get to see what they do. Mm-hmm. And, I've been really lucky throughout my whole career to be around this team and to see so many cool, great moments. And this week was pretty remarkable. I mean, I know the Nationals bullpen struggles. I get it. But baseball's hard, and to do what the Phillies did 3 days in a row, I don't care who the bullpen is, that's crazy stuff right there, what they were just able to do, even to a bad bullpen. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, that's on another kind of another level. Obviously, it's never happened before in baseball history to hit three go-ahead homers in the ninth inning 3 days in a row. It's unheard of.
Well, Scott, it is. And, you know, every year, every team, to me, develops a personality. And even though they might have a lot of the same players, each year is its own thing. And, Scott, we had this week the three in a row. I think back to that Friday night game in Pittsburgh where Nola got hit early, and I kind of just said, they're going to lose tonight. And then they came back and won that game in extras. It feels to me like this team is developing a little bit of a personality here in which they're not out of games. Even though the offense hasn't been great in general, they're not out of games. And that's pretty encouraging, Scott, because you need to have a few of those up your sleeve if you're going to have a special season.
Yeah, you do, because your pitchers can't. I mean, they can't just go seven innings and allow two runs every single night. It's not realistic. You're going to – and obviously the offense in the month of June has been terrific. They've clearly gotten things together. And, you know, you talk about the personality of never being out of it. I think the other part of the personality that may be starting to develop is that they don't need to sit around and wait for Schwarber and Harper to do something magical, right? There's other guys that are doing things. And we saw it this week, you know, four game-tying or go-ahead homers in the ninth inning, and they were hit by four different players, right? Harper had the one last night, go-ahead homer from Hill, tying homer from Marsh, go-ahead homer from Stott. And that's when you start to develop the personality of a team that anybody can be the hero on any given night. Anybody can contribute on a certain night. And you don't have to wait necessarily for the two big guns to sit around. You know, we're just going to sit around and watch them do something great. No, we're going to do our own great things.
Scott, let's talk about a couple of those guys that contributed this week and have been contributing. Derek Hill, I mean, it's turned into, and it's a small sample, but a very productive trade so far. He's hit as a Philly, and Scott, there's not many guys like this around anymore. He seems to be very comfortable as a pinch hitter, which that could be a huge thing, especially as the season goes on. You know, let's say the Phillies acquire more of an everyday right fielder, and Derek Hill becomes more of a platoon guy or a fourth outfielder. There could be a lot of moments, Scott, in big games where maybe Justin Crawford starts, but a lefty is in late. Derek Hill could be a weapon off the bench for them.
You know, one of the great things, and you pointed out, his pinch hitting numbers are really, really good. And a lot of that was built up with the White Sox. But it's a skill. It's a tough skill. And I know Derek has been really complimentary of the guys in the cage, you know, the hitting group, to get him ready for those at-bats. But the thing about Derek Hill is he's not just a valuable pinch hitter. He's a premier defender, right? So you can get a defensive upgrade out of him. You can get a base running upgrade out of him. You can get the pinch hit angle. Or if he's going to keep hitting like this, he's going to take down some starts as well. So I just think he's checking a lot of boxes right now, and you're right, it's a small sample. But that's, you know, if you're the third, fourth, or fifth outfielder in a club, that's kind of the way it works. You're going to have some hot streaks. You're going to have some cold streaks. That's why you're an extra outfielder and not an everyday outfielder. But I think it's great that he's not just a great pinch hitter. He does all the other things well. So that makes it really valuable for a manager to be able to do a lot of different things late in the game.
Scott Fransky with us here on a Fransky Friday. Scott, what are you noticing with Bryson Stott? I mean, we've seen some of this in the past. You know, last August and September, he played really well. Got off to a really tough start. I think he entered May with a low fives in the OPSs. But it feels like now it's a good 6-7 weeks where he's really hit the way I think we hoped he would hit. What are you noticing with Stott who hit that big home run the other night?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the first month or so, he was hitting a lot of balls the same. He was pulling the ball a lot. He was, you know, hitting it hard. His hard hit rate was really, really high. His pull rate was higher than it had ever been, but he wasn't getting hits. You could say maybe he was hitting into some bad luck. And I think he has maintained that, look, what I did at the end of last season worked. I'm going to stay with it. He started with it. He just wasn't getting hits to fall. And rather than tinker with it and go back to doing something else, he stayed with it. And now some stuff is starting to break his way. So, I mean, clearly what the turnaround for both he and Bohm, because they're in the middle of the lineup every day, the turnaround for those two are a big reason why the offensive numbers have jumped here in the month of June.
Scott, we keep talking about the trade deadline coming up in August, or it's about 38 days away, a little over 5 weeks. And it feels like every time we have the conversation, we kind of shift the priorities. You know, it feels like the Phillies could use help, certainly in the outfield. Another back end of the rotation depth piece, considering Andrew Painter's now in the minor leagues. And a relief pitcher. Scott, that's the area that I've started to kind of move up my daily power rankings, is the relief pitcher. What are you thinking where this bullpen is right now? Because Duran is so great, it just feels like in front of Duran, there just are a lot of questions, and I'm not sure who I trust the most right now, especially with the injury to Keller and trying to piece together that eighth inning in front of Duran.
Yeah, the number one thing is you can never have enough, right? Or you can never have too much. So go out and acquire some pitching. And honestly, you know, a solid sixth, seventh, eighth inning type guy, sixth, seventh inning guy, could go a long way to helping your pen, because it means you don't have to overuse Kirkering and Alvarado and you know, Meza and, you know, guys in the, you know, not the premier back end guys, but the other guys, the setup guys. And there's probably going to be a few more of those available than you would find in, say, a big time right handed hitting outfielder, right? That's a limited universe right now in Major League Baseball, especially when you consider there's so many teams that are still in the wild card race. Or at least like to believe they're still in the wild card race, and they might go for it. So I do think pitching is an area, whether it's, you know, back into the rotation or bullpen arms, it's a major focus for this front office right now. And I mean, it is every year, but, you know, again, I think that's the easiest path to try to upgrade your club. And I'm curious to see if they, you know, have anybody in the minor leagues that, you know, could do anything, you know, those under the radar guys that might be at Double A. If you start to see them moving up to Triple A and get the big league baseball in their hand, that might be an indication that the organization thinks they might be able to help too.
You know, Scott, I'm kind of curious to see how you feel about this, because I got on some pretty good intel that Alec Bohm has made it past phase one of All-Star voting. And I just wanted to know, how did you feel or what did you see from his turnaround season that he's having right now?
Well, again, Alec, he's a different kind of player. I mean, I can get it why people get frustrated sometimes. But he really, after the first month, you know, you look at his numbers in aggregate, he's starting to trend towards his career numbers. I mean, obviously, I think they'd like to see he and JT and Trey do a little more damage against left-handed pitching. I think that still remains something that they would like to see more of. Alec has been the best of those three in that regard. I'm not sure why lefties give JT so much trouble in particular, because his numbers against righties are way better than they are against lefties, which is a bit of a head scratcher. Same thing with Trey, especially when you compare it against his career numbers. He's never had a problem hitting against lefties. So, I think all three of those guys need to continue to improve against lefties. That would help the offense a lot. But, Alec is just kind of a steady guy. I don't, you know, again, I don't know that he's doing anything terribly differently. He always tries to stay in the middle of the field. That never changes. He doesn't. I mean, he likes to swing early in counts. He likes to swing at the first pitch. And I know that can be frustrating for some people to watch at times. But his career numbers, you know, when getting that first pitch in play are pretty good. So you can understand why he's, you know, why he sticks with that formula for himself.
You know what, Scott, I was just thinking, because I made a bold prediction at the beginning of the season that he would hit 15 home runs.
That was not your bold
prediction.
Me.
I'm talking to Scott. Okay. Excuse me. I made a bold prediction.
Are you guys okay? Are you guys all right?
No.
We actually are.
No. We're healing.
We're great. Still.
Scott. You know, I know it can be tough to work with the same partner all the time. So just, you know, I want to make sure you guys are good.
No, Scott,
that's
we're
why they got to rotate him with you so you don't have a moment. Yeah.
I get Scott, it. We're fine, but like I was saying, Jill likes to cut me off. But like I was saying, made a bold prediction at the beginning of the year that he would hit 15 home runs. He's at 9 now. So how close do you think he's going to get to having those?
This guy.
What are you talking about?
You are unbelievable.
His bold, Scott, his bold prediction was 30 home runs. He's changed it.
Oh, liar.
Oh.
What do you mean?
So here's the pull the curtain back. Scott, he's taking the Alec Bohm makes the round two of the phase two of voting as a win for his prediction.
Yes.
He came in here today. He's like, do you see round? He's in round two, Alec Bohm. You see this?
Yeah. He's probably not going to hit 30, Hugh. But if he does, that would be amazing. What a second half that would be.
Yes.
But, yeah, your bold prediction, I think he'll get to 15.
See?
Yeah.
All right, you win. He wins this round. We'll give it to him. Scott, thank you so much for hopping on, as always. Have a great weekend. We'll be listening against the Mets.
Have a good one, Scott.
Hey, you boys hug it out now, all right?
No, we're good.
We did already, Scott. We're good. All right, Scott. We'll talk soon.
We're
there
healing,
he goes.
We're healing.
Scott Fransky there.
One day at a time.
Yes. We're still healing. This guy's something else.
What are you talking about?
I knew it. As soon as I saw the bone thing, you're going to take that as a win.
Oh, yeah. You know I'm moving the line.
And move
the line.
You know what? Here's the worst part. If you had altered the prediction to 20 or 25, I might have let it slide. You cut it in half. 15? The saddest bold home run prediction of all time. I boldly predict a corner infielder will hit 15 home runs in a season. Wow.
Man, you're cooking, dude.
This guy's something else.
Pathetic.
All right, 215-592-9494. Milt Thompson's going to join us at 1 o'clock. They're excited to talk to him about the HBCU Swingman Classic as part of the All-Star Game festivities at Citizens Bank Park coming up in just a couple weeks. And we've been talking about a lot today, including the Phillies. Are they a great team? Bryce Harper said it after the game last night. This team is great. And Jalen Hurts ranked 84th on Pete Prisco's top 100 on CBS Sports, 17th among quarterbacks. We all think that's fair in here. Now, some gripes with some of the guys above him, but 17 does not feel unfair.
Get Jaden Daniels the hell out of there. I'm sorry.
I think Jaden Daniels is a tough one to rank because he looked so good his first year, yes. And then basically last year was a lost season.
You know,
what do you do with him?
I'm ready to make a bold prediction.
Uh-oh. On Jaden.
Jaden Daniels never reaches the heights that he did in his first year ever again in the NFL.
You mean in terms of just the play or how far they go?
Both.
The second one definitely seems like it could happen.
The Commanders are never getting back to the NFC.
They've got their ones in 30 years. Yeah, that might not happen again.
But I don't know. I don't see.
This is a huge year for him.
I don't know if I envision MVP-level play from him ever again.
Maybe not. I mean, he was a dark horse MVP candidate last season. People thought like he was going to take that first year.
You mean in his second year, like to jump off his first
year?
Yeah,
like almost like Mahomes.
Right. Okay, going into the year.
Yeah, because people said like this was Mahomes looked that good, and then he became the MVP. And obviously, he got hurt.
And the Commanders are going to school. Like, I mean, you want to talk about screwing up an opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
I think they thought they were in a much... I think they thought their window opened sooner than it really did, and they're going to blow it.
Yeah, they might. Hugh, where are you at on Daniels? I could see a path where if he stays healthy, he's dynamic. I mean, he looked special 2 years ago, but maybe he's just going to be injury prone.
You know what? I hope, and this is what you worry about when you have young quarterbacks, because we saw with C.J. Stroud, we kind of saw it with Caleb Williams in Chicago, but I like the coach that he has with him right now.
He seemed to stabilize.
Because he seemed to stabilize. But a lot of times, and I don't know exactly what it is, it just feels like young, especially at the quarterback position, they had these tremendous highs, right, that first year, and they get all these accolades and stuff, and for whatever reason, that second year they come back, and they struggle mightily. Part of that is the defense has gotten a book on you, and they take away everything that you did well last year. That's where you have to grow, and you really have to lock in as a quarterback. And I think that also when you have quarterbacks like that, you got to put some talent around them and help them grow, and don't make it so hard for them.
We've seen a lot of examples of that, right?
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's one of those things where the quarterback position, to me, I mean, you got to evolve at every position. You can't be the same every year. But at the quarterback position, you really have to evolve.
I agree with it. This year feels like the tell on Daniels. I mean, Stroud's an interesting one because he never looked as good as he has his rookie year, right? He's just kind of been okay the last few years. Two examples of huge ones in the last 15 years. I mean, one was a commander, right? RG3. I mean, RG3 was an MVP candidate his first year, never was good again. And the other one we know well. I mean, Carson Wentz. Now, again, those guys had significant injuries. I wouldn't say Daniel's injury last year to his non-throwing elbow is the same. That feels more like he could recover from that. Wentz and RG3 had knee injuries. That changed their games. But we've seen it. I mean, guys look like they're MVP players, and then they're not good anymore. That week one game is fascinating between the Eagles and Commanders because, like, if Jaden Daniels is the guy he was 2 years ago, that's not an easy game for the Eagles.
Nah.
But if he's not, and the Eagles are as good as people think, the Eagles could win that game by 10 points. What's your first thought?
On the game?
Yeah, a couple months out, that week one game. The Eagles need to win that game. It's a must win.
I think the Eagles are going to win.
It's a must
but
win. You disagree?
I think it'd be good for the psyche of the fan base. So I understand when you say must win. I understand where you're going. I feel like it's not going to be pretty. But that's been the mantra of Jalen Hurts his whole time he's been here since the whole time that I've been here.
We're going to do more not pretty wins. I want a pretty win. You ever want a pretty win?
Listen, we can't always get what we want, man.
Yeah, I know. But sometimes you get what you need.
You get what you need, man. And we need a win. Mm. And I think we'll get that. You know what? It's going to be a perfect storm, Joe, and I'm recklessly speculating here because what's going to happen is this, and this is how I see it happening. We're going to be coming off of watching the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks go toe-to-toe.
Right.
Now, somebody said the other day, well, I don't think AJ's going to do this or that. I think that game is going to be a highly contested matchup. I think it's going to be a lot more exciting than people give it credit for. It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be what we saw in the Super Bowl.
I think it'll be closer. I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that. And we're going to have that we're going to have that as Eagle fans because one of our own is their plan. We're going to have that in our head. And then when we watch our game, we're going to compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have problems with what we saw because it didn't look like what we saw with the team that played first. You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of people going to be in their feelings and they're going to be talking about why, you know, so it's going to be a little tough, but we're going to win. I think we're going to win. It's just not going to be pretty.
Well, and just like based on the defenses, you would think the Eagles have a much easier matchup, right? The Commanders defense stunk last year. I know they drafted a talented linebacker in the first round, but they had a bad defense.
Yeah.
The Seahawks had the best defense. So you would think we should move the football compared to the AJ Brown's new team. We shall see. Lucien is in Jersey. What's up, Lucien?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Lucien? What are you thinking?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the Phillies. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like they're good. I think they can be great. I think the pitching has to be better before we call them a great team, though. I mean, I know offense was the biggest struggle in the playoffs last year, but the pitching has always took us a long way, and I don't want us to be down in the ninth inning every game.
Well, yeah, you can't live like that, Lucien, for sure. I mean, it's a fun thing to do every couple weeks, or in this case, three times in 1 week. But yeah, I mean, they need to be more consistent offensively and get the good pitching to make us feel great about this thing.
Yeah, I think though with the thing with Harper, I found it funny he was kind of showing off the ring finger and whatnot. I don't know if that was talking about a World Series or if he was just, you know, talking back to the fans, but I don't know. I feel like Harper plays better when he has something to be angry about or he has something to feed off of, like, you know, people being mad at him. So I kind of liked what the Nationals fans are doing there.
I agree with you. Lucien, a lot of great athletes are like that, right? They
thrive off of the negativity.
Yeah, and sometimes they create their own. I mean, remember the Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary and the Bulls? Like, he would create slights that weren't even really there and just, like, create it so he could get motivated, so he could beat the crap out of different players and teams. So you're right. I mean, when Bryce Bryce, I think it was Bryce's first year here. They were in San Francisco in August, late in the season, and they were chanting overrated at him, overpaid or whatever it was, mm-hmm. and he hit a home run. I think there's a lot of athletes that feed off of that. Lucien, are you ready for a matchup here? Hugh against someone above him on Herb's list?
Yeah,
all right, let's do it. All right, so Hugh Douglas came in at number 66 on Herb in the Northeast, top 80 athletes of the century. Coming in well ahead of him at number 22, I need to ask you, who is the better Eagle of the last of this century, Hugh Douglas or Terrell Owens?
Oh, man, you're doing Hugh dirty there, man.
No, I'm just asking questions. Hey. This is not even my last
time. It was the T.O., man.
T.O.?
I mean, that's fine.
Okay.
The Eagles kept on going to the championship every single year.
Yeah.
But it was once they got T.O., man, that he was the deal breaker for them.
Well,
and, you know, obviously they lost to the Patriots and that, you know, that Spygate and whatnot. But still, I got to give it to T.O.
It's fair. Lucien, good phone call. It's fair. Now, let me just kind of even the scales a little bit. If we're being honest of who the better football player was in their NFL careers, T.O., right? T.O. is a Hall of Famer, one of the greatest receivers of all time. It is a list, though, of the best athletes Philadelphia since 2000. I mean, Hugh, you did more as an Eagle in this time span. T.O. was only here for one-plus year.
But people
now, he was great. He was great.
People don't look at it like that, and that's why, you know, I'm not mad about it, because the criteria for some is it's different, and I get it, because even I would say that T.O. got us over the hump, man. T.O., even though we were stars in our own right, T.O., when he got here, the celebrity was different.
Oh yeah,
it was different, and it felt different. He had a different vibe about him. Even now, it's certain athletes, man, and it's most of them play offense, because Brian Westbrook, the same thing. They have a different aura than defensive players. You know, you have very few defensive players that I would dare to say have the aura of an offensive guy.
Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that doesn't happen a whole lot. So, again, I don't feel slighted when you say T.O. or Malcolm Jenkins or somebody else is better than me, because I feel like I'm being honest when I say that they were. Because I look at them in a different light. You know, especially when you talk about, again, when you talk about what Malcolm meant to the Philadelphia Eagles, and during that tumultuous time in the NFL, he was a leader, and I commend him for that.
Malcolm's the toughest one I think I've thrown out so far.
That's a no-brainer. You know, so I'm not offended.
But he was only here a year plus. I mean, he played. I wonder how many games he actually started as an Eagle. 20.
Yeah, but when you talk about some of the most impactful 20 games.
I know. But the end also was a mess.
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's the trade. To me, the trade-off was worth it.
Well, I'm sure the Eagles feel that deep down, too.
Yeah, the trade-off was definitely worth it.
And he was awesome in the Super Bowl. 215-592-9494. Get back to all your phone calls and all of this coming up. The Phillies, Bryce Harper last night called him great after the game. Do you feel that? Is this a great baseball team we're watching right now? They have played like it under Don Mattingly. They have something about them late in games with four huge comebacks this season, including three this week. And they're playing at 109-win pace since they changed the manager in late April and Zach Wheeler came back. Your take on the Phillies right now after an amazing week. Jalen Hurts ranks 17th among quarterbacks in a recent top 100 ranking of NFL players. Fair, not fair? And we'll throw matchups at you. Hugh is ranked 66th on the big list unveiled yesterday by Herb in the Northeast. Who should he be above? We'll continue with that. Plus, Hugh mentioned it. We got caught up yesterday in All-Star voting. We are now in phase two. I think last night showed us two things, but All-Star voting and a Philly that may have cost himself a start in the game. We'll hit that next. Who's going to try to take a victory lap? It is the Midday Show, as always, right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.